Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in for my 8th Clarity Unplugged show here on Coach on Fire Radio Network. I am your host for today, Mina Balani. It's great to have you here. I have an amazing soul online with me today. But before I introduce her, just to remind you, it's a live show. If you are dialing in from USA, the number to dial is 646-716-7979. The number again is 646-716-7979. And if you are sending a message on my personal, you can send a message on my personal Facebook page, Mina Balani. I would appreciate that as well. We would love to have your input and comments. Just to remind you, it's a live show, so do drop us a comment, do take part, and do ask questions. And so I have an amazing Michelle on the line with me today. Michelle is an international speaker, educator, and a consultant, and a founder of a company called The Living the True Self, and a co-author of a book, Finding Your Truth. She works with you to create your personal success strategies for life, first guiding you back to your true self, and then propelling you forward so you can experience and interact with the world in a truly powerful way. She works holistically, practically, and systematically, which ensures effective results. So without further ado, Michelle. Hello, Michelle. Are you on the line with me?
I am on the line with you, Mina. Hi.
Hi. How are you today?
I am good. Can I just say, I absolutely love that, your jingle. It's like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I felt like I was being lifted off into outer space. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's your whole point, right? It sort of makes you feel like up in the air, like uplifted, right?
Totally, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Yes. I always feel that I'm kind of feeling a bit slow, and then when I hear the music, I wake up.
It's very, very uplifting. It's great.
Great. Right. So, Michelle, you're enjoying the hot season in London today.
I am. Do you know what? I was really, really tempted to sit in front of the freezer and have this radio interview today. It is absolutely sweltering in the UK, but it's nice and I am enjoying it.
Yeah, I think we should make the most of it because before you know it will disappear again.
Yeah, I mean, most people say we don't ever have a summer in UK. Well, we can say to them, oh yeah, we got one.
Yes, definitely. Okay, so you are here to talk about discover the work you were born to do.
Yes, I'm passionate about that.
Yes, certainly. How did you come about and where did it all begin?
Okay, that's a little bit of a long question, but okay. So basically, I was an accountant for about 30 years. I mean, deal with that for a second. 30 years as an accountant. And I won't go into too much, but needless to say, you know, in my first 10 years as an accountant, you know, I was climbing up the career ladder, all was going really, really fine. And then the second 10 years, you're into, nearly 20 years as an accountant, and you're sort of really starting to get fed up. You know, you've had enough, and you really understand that, hang on, I'm definitely not born to do this. I was good at it, but didn't. It didn't fulfill me. It didn't fulfill me in any shape or form. And at those 20 years, I was actually employed and I was having some serious, serious, serious issues with employment. And so I decided, well, I had enough experience. I'd sort of really branch out and start my own accountancy firm, which I did. And while it was during that period, I sort of thought having my own company, I'd be a lot happier, but I still wasn't happy. And I realized it was the work that I was doing that was not making me happy. It wasn't the circumstances around the work. It was actually the work itself. And so I decided, right, I was going to change career, but I didn't just want another job. I kind of wanted something that was going to really fulfill me, something that I could say I'm contributing to humanity. Do you know what I mean? Something that really drives your soul. And yes. It took me about 7 years to get there because, to be perfectly honest, Mina, there was so little guidance that was out there. I mean, I did all the courses called Follow Your Passions and Make Profit or Design Your Destiny and Date with Destiny and everything with that sort of name. I did it. But unfortunately, none of them really led to anything. And, you know, I did career guidance, but because I only had one skill, which was accounting, it kind of led me right back to finance, which is where I was really trying to get away from. So I did a lot of personal development courses and a lot of healing courses because I thought, you know, I really want to be able to help people. So healing and coaching seemed just the natural way to go. And after 7 long years, I finally got there. I got this amazing aha moment, and I knew that I had to teach, and I knew I had to speak, and I knew that I had to teach people about really having flow in their lives and how to live the best life possible. And so coming away from that, the first thing I thought to myself is, if you need to have flow in your life, you need to understand who you are and what you were born to do. And so the absolutely first program I created was Discover the Work You're Born to Do. And that was born from me knowing where I had gotten and just looking back on my life to see where I had been missing all the signs, you know, and where I had been ignoring who I was. And so I created this workshop, and it basically is the cornerstone and foundation of the work we do now. So that's kind of, yeah, that's the story in a nutshell, really.
Yeah, that's quite interesting because, as you know, I'm an accountant myself, right? And I'm at that crossroad in life as well. Like, I'm thinking, yes, I'm doing this, but it is not what I was really born to do. And in fact, it's funny you say that it took you 7 years. I've kind of known it for quite a while. It's been 10 years.
Yeah.
It's like, and I'm still sort of finding my place. And I'm sure loads of people are there like me, sort of trying to decide exactly where do they fit in this world, right?
Yeah. And do you know what? It was like, I mean, you say you've known for a while. I think I knew for a while. I think most people know when they are not in a job that's suited for them. But I think the difference that makes the difference is when you take action. Because I probably knew for about 10 years, even before I started taking action. But it's always the universe, I tell you, it works in mysterious ways. And I often say this, it's like the universe will sometimes tickle you with a feather to tell you you need to move on. And you sort of ignore that. And then it will probably throw a stone at you. And you'll probably still ignore that. But it takes something like a steamroller for you to actually get up and do something about it. Do you know what I mean? And unfortunately, for me, the trigger was I suffered a miscarriage. And it was, I remember the year really, really clearly because it was 2004. And when I found out I was pregnant, it was like the happiest I could not have been in a happier space. And then when I suffered the miscarriage, my life just plummeted. And it was only sort of recovering out of that I started to ask all the right questions. You know, is this all there is to life? Do I want to be doing this for the rest of my life? You know, life is just, what really dawned on me was the fragility of life. how fragile it is, and how 99% of the time we don't make the most of who we are and what we were, you know, really created for and designed for. We just sort of stick into whatever we think we can do. And if it's earning us a good wage, we're sort of almost happy to put up with it. But, you know, it does cause a lot of stress in your life.
Yes, definitely. And that's probably the reason people are so unhappy and struggling in their working life or even in their private life, right?
Yeah.
Is this what it is, isn't it? Because they're not truly being themselves or truly connected to what they really need to be doing.
Yeah, definitely not. You know, it's funny. It's like a job is a job? It is just like it's a task that needs to be done. You know, when you're looking for an employee, you send out a job description, and if somebody can do those tasks, they're automatically put into the job. And there's absolutely no reference to who they are as a person. You know, as I said, I could do the job of accounting, but nothing about accounting reflected my personality. And then I think there are people who they move from, they decide they're very unhappy in a job. So maybe like me, they would go into self-employment. But what they tend to do is they tend to have exactly the same career in self-employment as they did in employment. So they're still not living a life true to who they are. You know, they're just doing something. They're just doing a business that, you know, it's mainly to call the shots. It's a way to escape employment. You know, so they're still not being happy as a person. And again, remember I told you about my career guidance. It took me right back to accounting. So career guidance, they're based on your experience. And again, not who you are. So you find that most people, they're just so unhappy because they are like, they're trying to fit into something that they're not. And of course, that is going to cause some friction in their lives. It will really cause friction in their lives.
So what is the difference between finding your purpose and discovering the work you were born to do?
I think, remember I said, I sort of looked down the spiritual path when I was on this mission to find what it is I was born to do. And more often or not, I found that the spiritual path, and I read so many spiritual books and I went to courses, there is there's an incredible amount of inner reflection, but very, very seldom does it get to a true answer, a real answer, or something concrete that you could put your finger on or that you could start making inroads. And while I was pursuing this spirituality route, I did a lot of, numerology and other bits and pieces, tests that would tell me what my purpose was. And so I used to get things like, oh, you are a number 7, you have a quest for freedom, or a quest for wisdom, or in another one that I did, I think it was human design, it was I take the results of my experiences and use it to project what I see as truth to the rest of the world. And for me, this sounded good as a purpose, but they were so vague and so big that I didn't have a clue where to start. And this is what I find when people tell you this is your purpose. It's really, really vague, and it's difficult for you to really understand how you're meant to move forward with this. What is the first step that you need to take? And so your purpose is the reason you were created. The purpose of anything is why they were created. But in Discover the Work You're Born to Do, it is about understanding who you are at your core, because whatever it is you're born to do is just an extension of who you are. You shouldn't need to try and fit into anything. You shouldn't need to try and force your way into it. It should be just naturally who you are. And Discover the Work You're Born to Do, or the work that you were born to do, is the concrete stepping stones towards you actualizing your purpose. So the minute you step into what you were born to do, you are really starting to already live your purpose. And that's really is the subtle difference. So the work you're born to do is very concrete. It's very practical. This is who you are. This is the direction that you need to go into. Whereas the purpose is very, very big and broad, and it's not very specific in what you need to be doing to actually get to your purpose. Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. This makes sense, definitely, because I'm just reflecting on what you say to myself, because I am somebody who has lots of interest, right? And maybe that's the reason I kind of struggle, like, where do I fit in? Because I enjoy every aspect of life.
Definitely.
So how would you help somebody like me? I'm sure there's so many out there probably in the same sort of shoes as I am, right?
Do you know what? I tell you what, one of the things that 99% of the courses I went on to, you have to have a passion, okay? Because the two areas they look at really are your passions and your talents. And that was my very, very first stumbling block, because I didn't even have a passion to start with. You know, there were things I liked doing. But there wasn't anything I could put my finger on and say, hang on, I absolutely, absolutely, absolutely love doing this. And then there were people who were like you, who had so many different passions. And it was like, well, which one do you choose? Which one do you choose? Because there's like loads of them. And how do you, you know, weigh one up against the next?
It's more like interest, right? I can't even say it's passion, right? It's more like loads of interest.
It's interest. Do you know what we do? On Discover the Work You're Born to Do, we have totally done away with the word passions. And what the exercise we do is activities that you're drawn to. And these are like your everyday activities that you're happy doing. And what I found was when I analyzed what I'm doing now in my job, the activities that actually directed me to this were reading books and watching television, which is, I wouldn't even say, you know, it's something that I just did every single day. You know, sometimes I'd watch television to relax at the end of a long day. Sometimes I'd just read a book at the end of the day to relax my mind. But for the most part, the activities that you do, they're the ones that you find time for them all the time. They are. Sorry, I was just hearing a beep in the background. It was distracting me a bit. Yeah, and what it is, it's those little consistent actions that you do every single day that you don't need motivation for, that when you do it, you're in flow. You're not forcing yourself to do it. You are happy to do it. Every single activity like that tells you something about you. And it's understanding what that is. And I think most of the time when people follow their passions, it doesn't necessarily guarantee A, success, or B, that they're going to be happy. Because in my line of accountant, when I had my firm, when I had my own accountancy firm, unfortunately, there were a few people who were following their passions and said, oh my God, I love graphic designing. I'm going to start my business doing this. And unfortunately, it just never succeeded for them. And they closed up their company and they were very disillusioned at the end of it. So even following your passion doesn't even guarantee that it is going to be successful. So for people like you who have more than one, what we got to get you to do is really, really list out every single activities that you're drawn to. Yeah. And then we do an exercise which is called your inner codes, understanding what your inner codes are. And your inner codes, really in a nutshell, if they're existing in your life, you are happy and you're in flow. But if they're restricted in any way at all, you're going to be very, very unhappy. And so what we do, we help you to ascertain what these inner codes are. And then what we do is we take every single activity that you're drawn to and we map it back to your inner code to see which one of these activities really, really support who you are. And then you can start to shortlist those activities. And bearing in mind, it doesn't necessarily have to be one. It doesn't have to be one. If you have a few that you that support who you are, then by all means you could pursue most of them and bring most of them into your life to understand, to start that journey of what you were born to do. And the more you step into it, the more it starts to refine itself. And then suddenly you're really flowing then.
Okay.
Does that help in any way?
So, yeah, it does. So somebody like, okay, let's talk more about the inner codes now, right? So I think this is something you do in your workshops, right? So
yes,
I just want to understand the process a bit more. So somebody listening out there, what are these inner codes? Like, if you can give me a few examples.
So these inner codes, they are similar to values. They almost take on the same name, but they're not values, okay? Now, what I always say to people, because the minute I get a coach and I say, you need to look at your inner codes, they say, oh, I know my inner codes already. Well, chances are you probably don't, because most people look at values as something that's important to them. And that is great. However, it is something that is, it's a mental process to help you understand what's important to you. You choose it mentally, okay? And if you're choosing it at a conscious level, means that it could be infused with somebody else's values, or it could be influenced by society. So it probably isn't pure in its state, okay? Now, the inner codes, on the other hand, you were born with it. You didn't choose it. It chose you. So it's who you are at your core at a very, very unconscious level. And what we do in all our courses is really our main job is to bring what is unconscious or what is unseen to the scene. Yeah. To make you aware of it. So with these inner codes, we ask you very, very salient questions like, what's your favorite book? What's your favorite movie? What does your perfect day look like? What's your favorite animal? Because these are all very unconscious things. Why are you drawn to this particular animal? Why do you want to do this on this particular day? And what we do is we put all of that together and see which codes come out the most. And usually you find that. So, for instance, one of my inner codes is freedom. It's quite big with me. So what shows up with freedom? The Sound of Music. That's by far my favorite show. And it is because of this sense of breaking free, being up on the mountains. You have all the freedom in the whole wide world. My favorite animal is a dragon, taking to the skies. And again, that sense of freedom and that sense of just no boundaries and no limits. And so it's really salient things like this that help you to uncover what is truly, truly driving you at your core. And so that in a nutshell is what the inner codes are all about. And once you understand them, because you know if they're in your life, you're happy, and if they're not in your life, you're not happy, you use them very much as decision-making tools. So for a lot of the people that leave our courses, once they know their inner codes, so for instance, we had a lovely lady, Yitka, she was on our course at the weekend. Now, she did discover the work you're born to do about a year ago. She came to us and she said, I left my job because it wasn't giving me any of my inner codes. And now I am getting all of my inner codes in this job. And this was, I think she came to me about a month ago. And then she gave me another call and she said, my job description is changing. And she said, I'm not getting my inner codes anymore. And I'm starting to feel really, really uncomfortable. So she said, now I need to find another job where I know I can get my inner codes. So she follows hers to the letter because she knows if those inner codes are there, she's going to be happy. If they're not there, she's going to be very unhappy in her job. And so this is what the inner codes do. It is understanding, because whatever you're born to do, you need to know that you're going to be happy doing it, obviously. So if you could map your activities back to your inner codes, you know for sure following those activities is going to definitely guide you to what it is you were born to do.
Okay. So coming back to the inner codes, are they anywhere influenced by the environment you are in or the company you keep, the people you surround with?
No. It really, really isn't. Because of the depth that we go to, and it's breeding, it's really bringing out all of these unconscious patterns about you. So, for instance, so going back to my sense of freedom, with your inner code, you unconsciously find a way to get that inner code. So if it's been restricted in any way, your body will find a way to get it. So for instance, I absolutely hated school from primary school all the way up. Now, at the time in my 20s, I thought I hated school because I didn't like the teachers, I didn't like the subjects, you know, those sort of things, those sort of excuses your mind comes up with, your stories the mind comes up. But the reality of it was because I had absolutely no freedom in my school life. I had to show up on time, I had to leave when they tell me, I had to do everything they tell me, I had to follow the rules. And so when I was in primary school, I used to get very, very ill. I would be in class and I almost couldn't breathe. So every so often I would have to go outside. The teacher would take me outside and then I would almost feel, oh my God, I can breathe again. This is great. And it reached to the point when I was in secondary school, because I was a bit older, I used to run away from school. I would get there and think, I can't deal with this. And I would immediately run away. So even though the environment was very, very restricting, my inner code was trying to tell me, this is not right for you. This is not right for you. So this is what happens with your inner codes. You unconsciously try to find a way to have it in your life all the time. And if it's not in your life, you're very, very uncomfortable, very uncomfortable. And you're frustrated. And most times, if people don't recognize what their inner codes are, they use different excuses to justify why they're unhappy. They blame outside circumstances, they blame people, they blame their environment, when in fact, all it is your inner codes are not being met. And you need to change that environment or change whatever it is that needs changing for you to really be happy and understand that.
Yeah? Yes, of course. I mean, I have two kids, right? And of course, I want to give them best start in life, right?
Yes.
And I want, of course, find what they really enjoy and then make the most of it. Because I find people who enjoy what is people in some way succeed or give 100% to them.
Sorry, Mina, can you just repeat that? Because I just lost you there for about 2 seconds.
Okay, I'm just talking about a mother like me with two kids.
Yeah.
Right? I just want to give them the best start. Like, I don't want to be in a process where they do something for a little while and then they realize this is not what they're meant to be doing or this is not what they enjoy.
Yeah.
So how, as a mother, how can I help my child?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a very, very good question. Now, one of the things I would say is whatever they're gravitating towards, support them. And I know children have a habit of changing and changing and changing. You know, they'll play piano for about a year and then they decide, oh my God, I'm fed up with this. I need to do something else. But what I would say to you is this changing is them trying to find themselves. Most of the time, it's them trying to find themselves. What I would say to you is when they give it up or if they're giving it up, ask them, what is it about it that they were drawn to in the first place? Because we always go towards something. It may not give us everything we need. So they're drawn, say, if they're playing piano for a year and then they decided to give it up. They are drawn to that piano for a reason, okay? They give it up because it's not given them everything that they need as yet. So as a mother, I would try to discern exactly what are the things that they're getting from it at the moment and try and find a connection between that and the next thing they're into. You know, because, you know, I don't have children myself, so I'm trying to answer this really to the best of my ability, because I know I do have a lot of nieces. I do have a lot of nieces and nephews, and I do know that they change at the drop of a hat. Be aware that they are finding themselves. The children who are supported the most, they thrive. They absolutely thrive, because when they find that one thing that they're really drawn to, they pursue that for life. And give them let them have an open mind. If you have an open mind and say, okay, right, guys, this is what you want to do. What is it do you like about it? What do you want to do? Are you happy doing this? And support them fully. The children who are creative, the children are very, very creative in something that they are really, really drawn to. So look out for those sort of things. And when we don't normally do, we are starting to do Discover the Work You're Born to Do for pre-university age, but we are hoping to bring it down to a lower age group so that people start to really be aware of who they are and what they're born to do at a much younger age. But I think that's probably a couple of years away from now.
Oh, lovely. I think I have a caller online. Let me just connect him. And let's see whether they have a question for you guys. This is your live show. So if you want to dial in, the number to do so is 646-716-7979. Bear in mind, it's a USN number, so you may get charged if you are somewhere else in the world. Right, right. Michelle is all about finding the flow to your life. She is really working holistically, practically, and systematically, which ensures that we do get effective results. So, Michelle, in terms of your workshops and training, what is so different from what's currently out there?
I think, certainly in my experience, and in the 7 years that I pursue this really, really actively. A lot of the times they were looking at very surface level stuff. So they would look at your passions, as we just discussed. They would look at your talents. And it was just not enough to give me a start or to even really understand what it is I was born to do. So what we do, and I think I mentioned this earlier, on our courses, the difference is, first of all, we help you to understand the core of who you are, the essence of who you are, how you show up in the world, how you process the world, how you interact in the world. So you could truly understand who you are. Once you understand that, it then becomes so much easier to be able to step into what it is you are born to do. And this is, we also run workshops on building your emotional resilience, creating harmony in relationships, your route to vibrant health, and they all work in exactly the same way. It's understanding the unconscious aspect of it. And the reason for that is basically in life, in the universe, the unseen, what is unseen drives the seen. Okay, so if you take, for example, a tree has roots, which is not seen. Okay, so if anything were to happen to the roots, if it did not get nourishment, if it got disease, the tree itself would die. Okay, if a building didn't have foundations, which is the unseen aspect of the building, any slight wind, any storm, it would just automatically blow away. If we take that same analogy into human beings, you take something like confidence. Confidence isn't seen. The results of confidence is seen. So if you have two people who are vying for exactly the same job, one has confidence, one doesn't, chances are the one with confidence will get the job. Okay? So the unseen always drives the seen. So what we try to do is help you to understand the unseen aspects of yourself. There are countless courses that deal with the seen aspect of yourself, but they don't merge the two. And when we talk about living holistically, it is about acknowledging both the seen and the unseen, the yin and the yang, the masculine and the feminine, because it's only by merging those two together do you really get a holistic view of who you are and how you show up in the world. And I think that in a nutshell really is the difference that makes the difference. We approach everything from the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual, because we are physical beings, we are mental beings by our thinking, we are emotional beings by our feelings, and we are spiritual beings by our need to connect to something higher. if you just change one of them, it doesn't work. You need to change across the board. So this is why personal development sometimes can be, it is great for inspiring you, but sometimes it can be a hit and miss because it really is, for the most part, dealing with the mental aspect of it. It's change your thoughts. It is be more positive. It's have a goal, go for it. But it doesn't deal with the emotional side of it, the spiritual side of it, the physical side of it, where you need to actually take action. So what we do is what we call really, truly holistic, the seen, the unseen, the conscious, the unconscious, straight across the board, the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, so that we could ensure that change really happens and that you have flow in your life.
This is like finding your true selves and bringing out your authenticity, right? People are always about being true to yourself, right?
Yeah.
I think we can only be true to ourselves when you're actually living the life which is true to us.
Yes. That is very, very true. Yeah. I think what it is, I don't know if do you know a lady called Bronnie Ware?
No.
Have you heard of her? She's a palliative nurse and also a journalist. And during her work taking care of the elderly and dying, she interviewed them on their deathbeds and she asked them, you know, what is their number one regret? And the number one regret is not living a life true to who you are. That is the absolute number one regret in life. And so for us, it is really the cornerstone of everything in life, getting people back to their authentic self. And I think really some people don't even know their authentic self. Some people they're very much influenced by their parents, by society, and they're not even consciously aware that this is not who they are, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it is just so important for people to start living their absolute authentic life, because that's when your life really, really begins to be in flow. And when I talk about having flow in your life, to me, flow is, my definition of flow is the ability to have both inner peace and outer peace, regardless of the circumstances that is happening in your life, in your immediate environment, or in the world in general. So it is that absolute inner peace. And most people struggle when they're not living with authenticity, simply because every challenge is a burden for them, rather than them looking at a way, this is a way for me to learn and grow, everything becomes a burden. It takes a lot of their energy to be something that you're not. And it's a weird thing. When you're being true to yourself and being your authentic self, you actually conserve energy because it takes so little energy to be yourself. But when you're trying to be something that you're not, it takes up an incredible amount of energy, because it's like this proverbial, you know, square peg in a round hole, and you're trying to force something in so that you take up an incredible more energy trying to be something that you're not. And most times, this is why, you know, we have a nation, and in fact, a world that is so tired at the end of the day. They're exhausted. They're exhausted because, and it's not a nice exhaustion. You know, when you do something really lovely, you have a nice tiredness. But yes, most people, they're just drained and drained of energy. And this is really because, you know, they're not living an authentic life. They're just trying to fit into society because they feel this need to belong, you know. So that's my take on it, really.
Yes, definitely. It's funny you talk about being yourself. I was just having a conversation today with one of my friends today, and she was just talking about how she's managed to find the inner peace, and it was just letting go of it's just the art of letting go, I think. You know, sometimes you want to be in control of so many things. And once you learn that you can't control, a lot of things are not in your hand to be controlled.
Yeah.
And
That reminds me very much of, you know, the Serenity Prayer. God grant me the gift to be able to change the things that I can, to not change the things that I can't, or something along, I'm paraphrasing, and the wisdom to know the difference. And so once you accept life, yeah, that is starting to get flow in your life, definitely.
Yeah, I just personally, to me, from my personal experience, you know, like when you say, I trained as an accountant, I knew something, I was something I was not enjoying, but it was so easy to just carry on doing that because it worked well with the environment, with the family and the kids, you know, even though sometimes you want to change, you kind of not push yourself because it's easy to be in that comfort zone, right?
It is so easy to be the comfort zone, and it's very, very aptly named, can I just say, the comfort zone. Because, you know, it's only when we step out of our comfort zone that we really, really start to grow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing with comfort zone is sometimes I think people can get quite overwhelmed, and they get overwhelmed when they try to go too far outside of their comfort zone. If they don't move from their comfort zone at all, they get stationary in life, and they sort of almost go around in circles all the time. But if they try to do too much too soon, they get very, very overwhelmed. So the trick really is to just step slightly outside of your comfort zone where it stretches you, but it doesn't break you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. It's like learning to be in your comfort zone when you are out of your comfort zone.
I think it's called getting comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Get
comfortable with being uncomfortable. And can I just say, that can work wonders for your life. That absolutely works wonders for your life, because if you continually step outside your comfort zone, you will be so surprised at how far you can go. And on a daily basis, I try to step outside of my comfort zone. You know, it's like, you know, even us arranging this, it's like, oh, Michelle, you know, would you like to be interviewed? Oh, okay. You say yes. It's like, little intake of breath. And it's like, okay, no, this is a little bit outside of my comfort zone, but I will do it, because the next time it will be that much easier. Do you know what I mean? Whereas if I didn't step up, then, you know, I would remained where I was beforehand. So it's really good. Yeah, it's really, really good to step out of your comfort zone as often as you possibly can. But remember what I said, you know, step only a little way outside of your comfort zone, because too much, you get overwhelmed, and chances are you're going to climb up again.
Yes, definitely. I think whatever life experiences that sort of throws at you, there's always something to learn from it.
Definitely. I think if we really understand that life is just one big learning experience, that's all it is. I think all we're here to do is really learn and grow. And you're quite right. You know, just if we could start learning from our experiences, it will be absolutely amazing. And don't think of them as something that's bad happening to you. Think of them as an opportunity to grow and expand yourself, because I tell you, you can go, you know, your light will start to shine. You will start to create that flow in your life. You really, really will.
Definitely. And just coming back to the workshops you run, can I just ask you, what's the sort of target market is it for? Is it people like just looking for a change, or is it for, they've come to a crossroad, or they just, I don't know, what sort of...
I would actually say it probably the anybody who is very, very interested in personal development and personal growth, but who finds that the personal development courses isn't giving them everything that they need, because I love personal development courses simply because they get you to move forward and to aspire, but they do miss that unconscious aspect of it that I talk about. It is for people, anybody who just, you know, often say to themselves, oh my God, there's got to be more to life than this. There has to be more to life than this. And they are looking for this you know, looking for something outside of their 9-to-5 day, the treadmill of life, as it were. It is absolutely perfect for people if they are, as you said, at some crossroads in their lives, and they are looking for a much more authentic direction to go into. It could be for people like myself. You know, you're in a career. It could be a good career, but you find that you're really unfulfilled and unhappy. And you think, well, hang on, there must be something else I can be doing. So, you know, it pretty much that is the range of people who come to us. And if you just genuinely want to find what it is you are born to do, if you just want to step up into that and you know, let your light shine for the world to see, most definitely.
Yes, definitely. Guys, I've got lovely Michelle on the line with me. Her website link is www.livingthetrueself.com. She also has a free ebook for livingthetrueself.com. I hear you're launching a book at the moment, or is the book already out, Michelle?
The book is already out. It's called Finding Your Truth, and it was written by myself and my business partner, Marla. And basically, it's, you know, if you want to start off, it's a great starting point to discovering the work you're born to do, because it's pretty much based on the workshop and our philosophy. I know it is definitely available on Amazon.co.uk. I'm not sure if it's available on Amazon.com as yet, but if anybody would like a copy, I mean, if you're, say, in America or any place outside of the UK, just go to our website, drop us a line, and we can take it from there. But it is a really great place to start to give you an idea of everything that that needs to be in place for you to understand, really, first of all, who you are, and then secondly, what it is you were born to do.
Perfect. Lovely, Michelle. Three things you want to leave your audience with today. What are the three things you can leave your audience with today?
Sorry, say that again. I missed that.
Oh, yeah. What are the three things you can leave the audience with today?
Three things that I can leave with my audience today. The first thing I would say is intention, action, and determination. If you ever want to achieve anything in life, those are the three things that you need. You need intention to start it, to decide this is what I want to do. You need to take action, because without action, it's never going to happen. And you need determination, because all journeys are not smooth journeys. So if you sort of give up at the first hurdle, you're not going to get there. So I would say intention, action, and determination.
Yes.
Definitely. And I tell you, those three things got me through to now. First of all, understanding what it is I was born to do, and secondly, for me, building a company around what it is I was born to do. Just those three things. So they're very, very important. I would also say that, we're on the spot here, let's think of the second thing, that growth is an organic process. It is very much an organic process. We think, you know, that growth is always a straight line and we just want to get from A to B really, really quickly. It doesn't really work like that. It's almost, there is a little bit of chaos before change. You will grow, you will have your learnings, you might have a little bit of a setback, but keep going. It is very, very much an organic process, because we are human beings, and you know, for us, life is not a straight line. There are so many variables around us, our families, our environment, the world. So be patient, but be aware that everything doesn't grow. You can keep growing and you can keep moving forward, but it's not always in a straight line. What's the third thing I could give to you today? The third thing is understanding the difference between information, knowledge, and truth. If you are even listening to this program, or if you've been to courses, if you're looking to develop yourself and grow into your authentic self, what these courses do is that they give you information. They give you a lot of information, which is amazing. Now, it's only by re-looking at that information or retaking a course a second time or reading much more about it that that information starts to become knowledge. Okay? So, and then once it becomes knowledge, it's only by implementing it in your life it becomes truth. Okay? A lot of people go to courses, and what happens is it stays at that information stage. If something really sticks out, it might come to the knowledge stage, but it never reaches the truth, and all growth, all is experiential. You have to step into it. Only you and you alone can do it. It's like saying, reading a book and trying to learn how to swim. You have to get into the water to learn how to swim. Or it's like reading a book to learn how to drive. You have to get into that car to learn how to drive. So the process of human growth and human development is experiential. You must do it. If you want to learn emotional resilience, you have to move past your fears and actually do it and do the work necessary for it. If you want to step into what it is you're born to do, you must step into your authentic self so that whatever it is you're born to do can start to take shape and shine. So be very, very conscious of the difference between information, knowledge, and truth. Because, as I said, most people leave it at the information stage. A few get to knowledge, but the people that really make strides, they are in the truth area, and they live what they learn. Yeah?
Definitely. It just comes back to an example of how once you learn how to drive, it's just...
Yeah.
In your subconscious that you can drive without thinking sometimes as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, when you first start to learn, you're all over the place, aren't you? You're terrified of this oncoming car. You're putting on the lights instead of the indicator. You don't know what to do. You have so many things to check. It's all going on, you know, and it's chaotic. And you know, as a knowledgeable driver, you don't want to be behind those learners because you think, oh my God, they're going so slow. But give it a few years, and especially for women, you know, they're putting on makeup while they're driving. It's unreal. I've seen that happen. But everything gets very nicely lodged into your unconscious, as you said, and it all happens automatically, which is absolutely amazing.
Yes, definitely. That really does come down to nearly the end of our show, Michelle, actually. It was lovely having you
okay.
here, guys.
Oh, that was really quick, actually.
Yeah, if you would like to connect with Michelle, it's on her website, www.livingthetruthself.com. For me, if you want to connect to me, do so on my personal Facebook at Nita Balani. I'm still in the process of launching my own program pretty soon. So, guys, thank you, Michelle. It was great to have you here on mine today, and I'm sure we got lots of nuggets from you. And I will definitely be on the workshop one day again, because I know I've been there
once. Yeah. Wonderful, Mina. Thank you so, so much for having me. It's been absolutely great. I think I'm going to definitely sit in front of that freezer now, though.
Definitely. Please do that. So, guys, thank you all for listening. And until next time now, goodbye and have a good week and good weekend. So, goodbye, Michelle, and take care.
Okay. Bye, Mina. Bye, everyone.
summer slowdown? Is that a thing? At Reebok, we want to help you stay motivated and keep moving all summer long. That's why for a limited time, we're giving you your second pair of footwear for just $25. So now you can up your game with some versatile trainers, set a personal best with our running shoes, or crush the course with Reebok all-terrain shoes. The choice is yours. Find your summer inspiration at the Reebok Outlet Store at the Las Americas Premium Outlets, Camino de la Plaza, San Diego. But hurry, these savings won't last. Reebok, be more human. Ends June 27th. Terms and conditions apply. See in-store for details.
Hola, soy Lola. No puedo contestar tu llamada. Hoy voy a luchar contra la máscara vengadora. Si gano, usaré el dinero para pagar por nuestro plan familiar de datos. Claro, pesa 300 libras, pero una vez tomé una clase de karate. Quizá ya es hora de un switch.
¿Atrapado en un mal plan familiar? Haz el switch al mejor plan familiar de Boost y obtén 4 líneas cada una con gigas sin límite por solo $100 al mes. Metro PCS solo te da 2 gigas por línea por el mismo precio. 4 líneas cada una con gigas sin límite por solo $100 al mes. Es fácil hacer el switch y más fácil ahorrar con Boost.